Well, good morning. I hope that's it rings true in your heart as you sing that song of the shepherd we have. We're going to talk about that today as we continue on in Who Do You Say I Am? We're going to go back to John 10. We're going to go back to John 10 here. So if you turn to John 10 with me, we're going to jump there, and then we're going to jump back into Ezekiel, actually, too. Pastor mentioned a little bit. You can say that this is part two of what Pastor started last week, because they tie together in the same passage in the same time frame. We just came out of, as Pastor explained, the healing of the blind man, and then the church leadership and the leaders there, the way they treated him poorly. And we heard last week about the gate. And we're going to talk today about I am the good shepherd. And I don't know what comes to your mind when you think I am the good shepherd. You might go straight to Psalm 23, which would be appropriate. Maybe a visual image would come to your mind. These were the ones that kind of came to my mind here. A couple of these very vivid. My grandmother actually had one of those in her house. So it's a very vivid memory. For those of you who are older, the one on the far side there is flannel graph. How many remember the flannel graphs of the day? So that one came to mind. You know, you had the little sheep that were getting lost. They couldn't get lost very far on the flannel graph board. As a kid, you're like, he's right there. It's like, not that far. But we all have these pictures, right? We all have these pictures of who the good shepherd is. And there's a variety of different reasons. You might, as we sing that song, have thought through a very specific time in your life where you got to know Jesus in a deeper way. But we have these different thoughts. There's one thing I don't want to spend a lot of time on, but I think it's important that we talk through, though, the sheep aspect, right? If we're talking about a shepherd, we're talking about our part in it. We're the sheep. Some of us think we're this sheep right here. You know, we're all nice and innocent and cute and easy to love. I mean, who can't love that? Some of us think we're this one, the bighorn sheep. We're studly. Nothing can knock us down. We don't need a shepherd. We can live on our own. By the way, this is not the sheep Jesus is talking about. This is what Jesus is talking about. This is us. By the way, I found out there's a certain way to pick up a sheep that has fallen on its back. That sheep is not dead. It has just fallen over and it can't get up. And someone needs to come help it, and you can't just roll it onto its feet. It'll literally roll right back over, I found out. You have to pick it up a certain way. Or sometimes this is us, right? We just get ourselves stuck. God, I thought this would be a great thing, but it wasn't. Some of us, we get more tangled up, and we need help. We can't get out. Some of us are just lost. We've separated ourselves from the shepherd. And we find ourselves in barren land where there's not grass to eat, and we don't know where to go, and we're lost. These are the sheep that Jesus is talking about, and quite honestly, these represent us pretty well, don't they? I mean, they represent us well. We're needy. Sheep are needy. One thing sheep are not are self-sustainable. They need a shepherd. We need a shepherd. We can't do life on its own. Listen, God, when he saved us, he didn't pull us instantly out of this world of difficulty. He didn't instantly pull us out of life on a sin-cursed world. He left us here, but what he did promise is that he would help us through it. Listen, we are needy people. We are just like sheep. If we don't have a shepherd, we're going to find ourselves an issue. Sheep are one of the most helpless animals out there. So this is why Jesus uses this picture. God uses this picture of sheep because really it defines us well. And when we go back to John 10, we see he says, I am the good shepherd. Now this has to be understood in the way, and we're going to in a minute jump over to Ezekiel, but this has to be understood in the way because he's really, the way in which he's bringing this out, it's clearly going back to this promise God made and this judgment God made back in Ezekiel. I don't know if you remember last week that Pastor Gary brought up this passage in Ezekiel 34:26. And we saw a couple things about the shepherds of Israel from that passage. It says, shepherds of Israel, you have been feeding yourselves. They're selfish. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the stray you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. And this is what Jesus is implying. When Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and he starts walking into this picture, and I hope you see this. We'll come back to this in a second. When he said in front of these Pharisees, in front of these Jewish believers, when he said, I am the good shepherd, everyone was going to go back who knew anything about the scriptures to this passage in Ezekiel. And when he said, I am the good shepherd, he said, you are not. You are like these guys. You are the bad shepherds. And he said, that's what my sheep have right now. And he goes on in Ezekiel and he says, they're scattered abroad. In fact, why don't you turn back to Ezekiel real quick? It's right after Isaiah and Jeremiah, right before Daniel. Turn into Ezekiel 34. Let's look at this for a second. He starts out, the word of the Lord came, and he starts out by saying, again, you feed yourself, you're selfish. It's like having no shepherd. My sheep have become food for the wild beast. My sheep are scattered everywhere. He says, this is not to be so. This is not what I left you here to do. I don't want to focus on the bad shepherd and focus on these negative things, but I want to take a second to realize that God entrusted some of us to shepherd. Shepherd was a word, and that idea, this word picture was used a lot for someone in leadership and those under them, whether it was a king over a nation, whether it was a government over a people, whether it was a parent over a child, whether it was a teacher over a class. This picture of shepherd was known throughout this day. This was a word picture that was used throughout this day, and God does not like those who take advantage of the needy. I pray our church never is one like that, but that we would reflect who we're about to learn about, and that's the good shepherd. So this is this context. We have the man being healed blind. If you weren't here last week, watch that sermon. The man being healed, them not handling that properly, and pushing him aside when it should be a great time of rejoicing. Jesus is saying, this is what you're like, you're just like these people in Ezekiel. But let me tell you something, I am the good shepherd. And when he says, I am the good shepherd, their mind not only goes to the negative, but it's going to go to the positive here. We're going to see in Ezekiel 3, or 34, 7 through the 23. And I want to take some time to look at this. And it's going to get a little overwhelming. I'm going to tell you, I've got a lot of information, but I hope you're overwhelmed in a good way, because I'm going to tell you how good our good shepherd is. How good this good shepherd is. Look with me at the beginning here of this passage in verse 11 in this section, Ezekiel 34, verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for the sheep. I myself will search for the sheep. It's interesting. He's like, I'm not going to leave this. This is an important thing. I'm not going to leave it to anyone else. I myself, I'm going to search for my sheep. Remember, he just told them that they let them scatter. They weren't looking for them. They weren't caring for them. He said, I will examine my sheep. That's that next word, seek. Some versions might say examine. He says, I myself will search for my sheep and I will seek them out. This has the idea of I will examine. I will look at them personally. I will look at their needs. I will assess where they're at. I will assess what difficulties they're having. I'll assess the infirmities they have. I will examine my sheep. Are you sensing this personal side? This is not just like, hey, I'm going to take care of this big group as one. I'm going to go to each one of them individually. And he says, I'm going to feed them with good grazing land. I'm going to feed them with good things. I'm going to give them good things. This is not a shepherd that's going to give them, I don't feel like taking them to the rich pasture today. It's too far of a walk. I don't feel like doing the extra work to help them out. No, he says, I'm going to feed them with good grazing land. He says in verse 14, and I will cause them to lie down in good grazing land. Philip Keller, someone who was actually a shepherd for a time, says as he wrote about Psalm 23, he says, sheep do not lie down easily. In fact, it's almost impossible for them to be made to lie down unless four requirements are met. Owing to their timidity, they refuse to lie down unless they are free of all fear. They because of their social behavior, they won't lie down if there's a lot of friction around them. Because of their needs, they won't lie down if they're tormented by flies or parasites. That will keep them from resting and relaxing. And they won't lie down if they're hungry. Listen, God provides for each one of these. We're going to see how he provides. He says, so when he says, you know, I will cause them to lie down, this comes with, again, a lot of weight in a good grazing land. So he lays out this personal aspect. He says, I am going to take this. I, the king of everything, I, the ruler of everything, I, the God of everything, I am going to, because they did not, the shepherds that I set up did not do it, I am going to go out and I am going to search for them. I am going to examine them. I am going to feed them. I am going to take care of them. He goes on to say, in direct response to the bad shepherd, again, he goes on to say, so this is what we read last time. I want to just bring it back up into your mind. You know, they don't strengthen the weak. They don't take care of the sick. They don't bound up the injured. They don't help those who are strayed off. They don't seek the lost. He says, he follows up this in the next section in verse 16. He says, I will seek the lost. He goes, unlike them, I'm going to seek the lost. I'm going to find them. He seeks the lost. These are the ones who don't know how they're going to get back. These are ones who have strayed so far from the shepherd and strayed so far from what we saw last week with the pen and the door and how he protects them. They've strayed so far, they found themselves in danger. They've found themselves tangled up. They found themselves on treacherous cliffs of decisions and sin, and they found themselves in a spot like we want to come back, but we don't even know how. Have you ever been there? It's like, how did I end up here? And I want to get back, but I don't know how. And God says, listen, I am a shepherd who's going to seek and search out the lost. I know when you're gone. Do you remember this in Luke and Matthew? Matthew 18, Luke 15, talk about when he leaves the 99 and he goes out for the one. He knows when you're gone. He says, I am a shepherd that's going to seek the lost. Listen, bad shepherds would be like, hey, you chose to leave. Good luck. This may or may not have been said in my house when I was growing up, when I had a big mouth. Well, don't let the door hit you in the butt as you head out. Good luck hitting life there, son, at your age of 12. I could take it, Dad. I got it. He doesn't leave us like that. He seeks us. The lost he goes after. He brings back the strayed. Those who have been tempted to move into other flocks, those who have been tempted to go, you know what God says, this is the grass that's green for me. This is the best path for me. This is the best direction in my life. And they've been said, gone, you know what, actually, shepherd, I don't know. That looks good over there. Yeah, I know there's a couple wolves over there, but you know what? I know pretty good of what I'm going to do. But they've strayed away. They've been led astray by their temptations. He goes after them. He doesn't just leave them either. The good shepherd binds up the injured, he says in verse 16. And whether these are self-inflicted wounds that we've inflicted because of our own sin, or maybe it's wounds of predators that have attacked the sheep. But he says, I bind up the wounds of the injured. I care for that sheep. I care for the one that's gone out and hurt themselves. I don't go, hey, well, too bad. Live with that decision. Good luck. No, I bind the wounds, he says. And then he says, I strengthen the weak. Some have stayed with the sheep. Some have stayed following the shepherd, but you know what? They've become weary in well-doing. They become tired in the constant fight of sin we all face if we're serious about our Christian walk. They come to a point, decision, where it's like, I can't do it. Do you remember a couple weeks back when Pastor, I'm not going to have us do this again, but remember, Pastor had the group following him around here. Have you ever felt as you're following after God, you're like, you're following after Him, and it comes to this point, you know, all of them were adults, and all of them were able to step up on the chairs, they were able to step off and step up. But what if I were to call, you know, a small little kid, third, fourth, three, or K3, K4, and I bring them to this ledge right here, and I could easily step right up with my legs. I could put a foot up, and I could lift myself up, and here comes this kid behind me, and they're like trying to climb up. You know, the good shepherd doesn't go, hey, keep up, son, what are you doing? If you really love me, you really want to follow me, keep up. You know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, whatever that means. And just keep up with me. Suck it up, buttercup. Come on. No, you know what the good shepherd does? He says, man, I know you're tired. I know it's difficult. Let me help you. I know doing the right thing. I mean, remember, we're going to see here. I don't want to get ahead of myself because Jesus is about to jump into the equation. But I've been there. Psalm 23, we don't have time to dive into it, but he says, I prepare the way. I've been ahead of you. These are the things our shepherd wants to do for us. You know what else our shepherd does? Not only does he find us and he heals us and he strengthens us, but our good shepherd also makes things right. He says, I will rescue my flock and they shall no longer be prey. I will bring you in. I will protect you. I will bring you to myself. You'll no longer be prey. You'll have victory. This is an important part. Again, we see this in Psalm 23. We'll see this a little bit later. But he brings with his position, with his power, victory. This is why we can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil, because nothing can touch us. Amen. He says, the rod and the staff, they comfort me. What does that mean? It means the rod is he protects us from all the things that are around us. The staff, he leads us because he knows where to go. Again, we are in a fallen world, I know right now, but God is saying, I'm going to shepherd you through this. He says, I will judge between sheep and sheep. What does this mean? This is verse 22. If we were to read the whole context, you would see this clearly in this whole context here where he says, I'm going to judge between the sheep and the sheep. He's talking about, you know, everyone's sheep, whether you're leader or not. And he's saying, I'm going to judge between the sheep that took advantage, what he calls the fat sheep, the sheep that took advantage of the sick, the sheep that took advantage of the weak. He says, I'm going to deal with them. I'm going to right these wrongs. And he says, I'm going to set up over them one shepherd. It's verse 22, and this is where we're coming into, going back into John. He says, I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be prey. I'll judge between sheep and sheep, in verse 23, and I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them, and he shall feed them and be their shepherd, And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken. Now, obviously, real quick, we know this is not David because David's already come and gone. Remember, as we look through the scripture and it talks about the seed of David, sometimes talks about here the servant of David. This is talking about someone who is going to be in David's bloodline. And we know this is Jesus he's talking about, one shepherd. So all of that was introduction, by the way. Back to, don't worry, I will get done, I promise. But listen, this is why. I know I kind of went through it a little quick, but I want you to see, this is the shepherd. This is the scenario. This is what, when Jesus said, when he went against the religious leaders of that time in John 10, where we're about to go back to, and he made the statement, I am the good shepherd. This is all the good baggage that came with it. This is all the thoughts that would have come to someone's mind. That's like if I were to say, I'm Santa Claus. It comes with a lot, don't laugh, it comes with a lot of different, you know, thoughts in your mind. Yeah, he is kind of fat, he is, does have a beard, does he have gifts? I don't know. But it comes with a lot of background, right? This is what I'm saying. When he said, I am the good shepherd, listen, this is what their mind went to. When he went after the religious leaders, like, you're not, I am, this is the context. But here's the awesome thing about it. It doesn't end there. I mean, this is an awesome, awesome shepherd. And if we had time, we could go to Psalm 23 and see even more of his protection and his love and the personal nature in which he has. But let's go back to John 10, because Jesus adds to this picture. Jesus adds to this picture of what a good shepherd is. So jump back into John 10, verse 11. He says, I am. There's that word there. I am that I am. I am the good shepherd. So that statement, those few words, those five words, bring all of that Ezekiel passage in this section. I am the good shepherd, and Psalm 23. He continues to say, let me tell you a little bit more about the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for a sheep. Again, the crucifixion hasn't happened. Jesus, they might be wondering, what does this mean? They might be thinking, well, a good shepherd's willing to lay down his life. But we know that Jesus ultimately laid his life down for a sheep. Again, this is against the bad shepherds, the ones who are selfish. They're just getting gain out of the sheep. They're investing as little as they can into the sheep and getting the most they can out of it. They're harsh. They're mean. They don't know their sheep. They don't care about their sheep. They just want the sheep to do things for them. They're definitely not going to sacrifice for their sheep. But Jesus says, I'm different. I'm the good shepherd, and I will lay down my life. It won't be taken away. We see that later on. There's no greater sacrifice. He's not just giving his time, his money, his energy. He's saying, I give my life. That is how deep my love runs for you. And he says in verse 12, and this is such a powerful thing. In verse 12, not only am I willing to give my life, he says, I'm not going to leave you. Verse 12 tells a story. He who has a hired hand and not a shepherd, he does not own the sheep. He sees wolves coming and he leaves the sheep and flee. And the wolf snatches them up and they scatter. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am a good shepherd. This is not what Jesus will do. Listen, our life is going to give us difficulties. Our life's going to be difficult. We're going to get ourselves lost. We're going to get ourselves in a mess of a situation. And there's going to be some around us who are going to leave. You're such a mess. I can't associate with that. I can't help you fix that. This is too much for me. I'm not that vested in this relationship. You said you thought we were friends. Well, we're not. I'm out of here. I don't know if you've ever faced that. A difficulty you're going through, and all of a sudden you find yourself alone because no one else is willing to go through that difficulty with you. Can I tell you something right now? Jesus will. And he does, and he desires to. He's not going to flee when trouble comes. We also see this relationship. The Good Shepherd, I have a personal relationship with my sheep, he says in verse 14. I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own and they know me. And he doesn't stop there. He gives the illustration. He says, let me tell you what it's like. Verse 15. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. I mean, this is huge. How does Jesus and God the Father know each other? That's a pretty tight connection. This is the illustration. This is the example he's given to how he knows you and wants you to know him. This is a personal shepherd. Listen, in the many years of marriage I've been in, by the way, celebrating 25th to my beautiful wife, had to throw that in this week. Poor girl. There you go. I either got points for that or negative. We'll find out later. But we have, you know, we've read this book. If you've been married and you've been in church, you get this book, Five Love Languages, right? And you're supposed to master the love language. I am not fluent in anything I've realized. I have to work at it. But can I tell you something, all joking aside? Jesus knows your love language. Jesus is fluent in your love language. Jesus knows you. Jesus knows your weaknesses. Jesus knows your sin bents. Jesus knows your fears. Jesus knows the extent you can go and where he needs to go. Okay, we've walked enough today. Jesus knows your preferences. Jesus knows what brings you joy. Jesus knows everything about you, good, bad, and ugly. And he still wants to be your shepherd. And he still wants to know you. And he still wants you to know him. This is the shepherd that Jesus is to us. Remember, we're these sheep. I mean, quite honestly, it's all but a nuisance we are to him. Oh, hey, where'd Ken go? Where'd he go this time? I'm wandering around, getting myself stuck in something. And he graciously comes back. And he graciously takes me. And he graciously unbinds me from whatever issue I have found myself in, whether it's that tire swing we looked at earlier, or I'm upside down, flailing, and I can't get up, or I'm lost. This is what he's offered to be to us. He also says, I have other sheep. I must bring them also. This is important. If you're sitting there going, well, Ken, I'm a theologian, and according to Ezekiel and according to Psalm 23, well, that was for the people of Israel. And I would agree, but Jesus adds on to this. He says, not only am I the good shepherd, but he also says, I want others, not just Israel, I want others to join in. Look at verse 16. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them in also. And they will listen to my voice so that there will be one flock. And what does that say? One shepherd. Remember this promise? Ezekiel? I'm going to put up one shepherd. Jesus is saying, I'm calling others. Praise the Lord for that. He calls out and they hear his voice. He goes, there's some that are not within the fold right now. There's some that haven't responded to my call. There's some that I am still calling to be part of this group of sheep that I want to shepherd. And then finally we see, I will give my sheep eternal life. Again, this is in addition to what we saw in both the Old Testament passages here. We see in verse 28 here. Again, this is in a little bit different, but again, John brings this picture back into view in this section, and I think it's to help us see that it's still one of the benefits. At verse 27, I'll start there, of John 10, my sheep hear my voice. Again, here's his calling, you hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. I give them what? Eternal life. They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. He's saying, listen, I could give you something that's not just temporary. I mean, these temporary things are awesome. Walking through the valley of the shadow of death with us, that's awesome. Setting us up in green pastures, that's awesome. Preparing the way for us, that's awesome. Loving us and seeking us when we get lost or we go astray. Binding our wounds and healing the issues we self-inflicted many times. Or maybe it's from outside and someone else. And healing wounds. The pastor talked about trauma last week. And he being able to heal these things and coming alongside and giving guidance and strengthening us. Those are awesome. But he says, one day you will be with me. One day all the enemies will be away. One day there'll be only green pastures. One day we will all be close to him because sin is no longer in the picture. This is what Jesus is offering. Listen, this is what he's offering to you. This is what he is offering to you. I don't know where you're at in life right now. I don't know. I mean, you could be one that's wandering away. You could be one that's lost right now. You're like, I know where I should be, but I really don't know how to get back. You could be one who's like, Ken, I've never in my life experienced what you're talking about. That's foreign to me. It makes no sense. I've never heard or seen that in my life. I've never felt the shepherd's care. I've never felt the shepherd's or heard the shepherd's call. Can I tell you something? He's offering it to each one of you. And again, you might need to hear the call of deliverance from sin. You might need to hear the call of salvation. But this is how you know the Good Shepherd. You respond to his call. Listen, he's constantly, I wish we had time. This is, can I tell you, I say this every time I preach. Go back to this passage. It is just, I mean, you can spend a month between those two passages. Throw in Psalm 23 and you got a month and a half of time that you could just study. But one word you would see if we had time is call. I call, I call. I call out to protect. I call out to deliver. I call to find. I call to lead. Listen, like I said, I don't know what call you need to listen to right now. It might be the call of salvation. It might be come to this fold, come follow me. It could be a call of caution. It might be the call of the shepherd right now. And you're like, I don't experience this. And it's because you constantly are straying and he's constantly having to go find you. And you're like, I've never really felt all that you just talked about and what the scripture says. Maybe it's a call you need to follow of caution. Maybe it's a call of direction. Go this way. I don't know what call is out there, but you need to respond to his call. And secondly, you need to spend time with him. Listen, you're never going to know the Good Shepherd if you don't spend time with him. It's just like you wouldn't know me or you wouldn't know the person next to you unless you spend time with them. And I don't want to just throw that out there. Sometimes we're like, hey, spend time with Jesus. If I were to point you out right now and say, what does that mean? What would you say? Can I give you a couple of thoughts here, just real quick? This is for free here. What does it mean to spend time with Him? Well, it's through prayer, the Spirit, and the Word. This is how God has said, I want to spend time with you. Later on in John, He says, listen, I am sending someone to you. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. He's going to teach you and bring into remembrance all the things I have said. He says later on that He's going to send the Spirit in John 16. Again, that He's going to send the Spirit and it's going to guide you in all truth. And it's going to speak what I tell it to. It's going to lead you. I'm going to shepherd you through the Spirit. We read in 2 Timothy that the Lord's words are actually there to teach us, to convict us, to correct us, and to repair and strengthen us. We spend time through getting to know Him and then through prayer, praying to Him. I don't know if you've taken time as you pray to listen. As you pray and you just as you pray through wherever you're at and praying through, Lord, help me through this, and you just quietly, contemplatively listen. Remember, if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit's in you. God is in you. The shepherd has sent someone to take care of you. He didn't leave. Jesus wasn't like, hey, I'm the good shepherd. I died. See you later. No, He said, I'm gonna leave someone for you. That's the Holy Spirit. God Himself in you. Nothing more personal than that. And He's going to lead and direct you. But prayer, the Spirit, and the Word, these are ways in which we can know Him. Listen, the more we know Him, the more we see how great He is, and the more we know Him, the more we trust Him. And that's the final thing. How do I know this good shepherd? You trust and follow His leading. This wasn't planned, but Eden's testimony earlier. She desired to go 4 years ago, and God said, no. And she shared what God taught her through it. Listen, God taught her so many things, and she learned about God, and she learned to trust God, and she learned to follow His leading, and it's going to strengthen her for the next step. But that was by design. That was by God's plan. A good shepherd knows when you're ready. A good shepherd knows when you're ready to take that next step, that trek, that long path to the green pasture, that long path to the next spot. The good shepherd knows. We can trust Him and follow His leading. The problem is we don't. We often don't. We often think that we're better. No, it's not always. Sometimes it's something appeals to us to the side. Maybe another flock. I'd rather be a goat. I'd rather be a buffalo. You know, I'm going to go join this other group of animals. But I don't know about you, but often in my life, it comes down to, I think I'm a better shepherd. You say, I mean, as I read through this, and again, this is how we grow closer and know this good shepherd. As we read through these things, we see these truths. But often I think I'm a better shepherd. I came across in a book we're doing in a men's Bible study, this guy gave a paraphrase of Psalm 23, and unfortunately how realistic this is often to my life. Can I read this to you? This is of Psalm 23. It says, I am my own shepherd, and I'm a mess. I don't have everything I need, that's for sure. I wouldn't know still water if it were staring at me right in the face. I haven't taken a rest in green pasture for quite a long while. I don't walk along paths of righteousness, but I do know what fear and evil are. I seek comfort wherever I can get it. I can't stand my enemies. I want to hurt them. My cup definitely doesn't overflow, but I'm full of angst, consumed by anger and sorrow and rage. And I'm so easily, and so full that I easily spill over in those. I'm packed so tight it doesn't take much for me to explode. I don't know what's going to follow me all the days of my life, but I could tell you this one thing. My soul, it's not so great right now. Can I tell you, every time in my life that I've become my own shepherd, this is often so true for me. Can I tell you something? That's not what God intended. You know, sometimes Satan's ways have not changed. He goes after God's character just like he did with Adam and Eve. If we have a right view of God, if we have a right view of who our shepherd is, and ultimately Jesus taking on, God sending Jesus to be our shepherd, it'll change why and what we do. And often we've got this view of God that actually it's better if I take the reins. It's better if I run my own life. God, you're calling me to do things that are impossible. God, you're asking me to do things that I can't do. God, you're asking me to do things that aren't going to lead to green pastures. I really think this way is going to be better. God, I really think that what you're asking me to do to right this wrong is too much. God, what you're asking me to do to take a next step in obeying you, go there, do that, talk to that person. God, that's too much. God say, no. No, follow me. I promise you, I am the good shepherd. I'm selfless. And you know how I define good shepherd? I give my life for you. You know how I define good shepherd? I love you and know you individually. You know how I define good shepherd? I take care of you, even when you've caused all this mess on your own. Listen, this is the God who's called us to serve. Too often, Satan wants us to believe that it's a God who's stuck on himself, a God who demands too much, a God who has unrealistic expectations. And this is not at all what we see with this picture of God's character in the Good Shepherd. He truly is a God who wants to take us in our helplessness and lead us. He wants to take us in our vulnerabilities and protect us. He wants to take us in our mess and fix us. This is the shepherd that we're called to follow. So when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, this is awesome. This is awesome that he has called us, that this is the one who wants to lead us, is someone with this kind of character. Some of you are like, I can't even fathom that. Every person in my life who's supposed to shepherd me has been abusive. Every shepherd in my life has run when difficulties have come. Every shepherd in my life just leaves me when things get difficult. Can I tell you something? This is not the good shepherd that Jesus is. Jesus wants to help you. Jesus wants to give you good things. Jesus wants to lead and direct you and protect you. Jesus wants to help you through all the difficulties of this life. If you could bow your head and close your eyes for a second here. I'd just like to ask a question here. God has offered his son to shepherd us through every moment of our lives. God has offered his son to protect us, to lead and guide us and love us and know us. What are you doing with that offer? What are you doing with that call? Again, if you're someone in here who is, this is the first time you're hearing of a shepherd who's laid down his life in Jesus Christ, I'd encourage you to listen to the call of salvation. God wants to save you. He wants to shepherd you. He wants to help you. He wants to give you an eternal security. Listen, the awesome thing about this shepherd is not only does he take care of the external issues we've caused, he takes care of the internal. He takes our sin, he removes them and places his righteousness on us. This is the promise of the Son, the shepherd who died on the cross for his sheep so that we wouldn't have to pay the penalties of sin. We could be included into his flock. and experience all these things we just heard and read. Maybe you're a sheep that's wandering right now. You're being deceived into the fact that your shepherd isn't good, that this shepherd isn't for you, that's for someone else, that's for that white sheep that's perfect and we saw at the beginning, the little cute lamb that everyone loves. That's who the shepherd's going to love. And that's what I've got to be. And I can't be that, so I'm not even going to try. That is not. Just like we saw those silly pictures, the sheep on its back, the sheep stuck. That's the sheep that God loves just as much and will go and seek and leave the 99 to find you. He's calling your name. He wants you to come back. That's the call. Please answer it. And there's some of us who are just lost. Honestly, we couldn't even. We don't know what's a voice, what's our own crying, what's our own fears. There's so many voices going around us, so many temptations, so many issues. And we're just lost. We don't even know how to get back. I tell you, he's calling you by name. By name. He's calling. He wants you back. He's calling for you. He's given his life for you. He wants you to come back to him. He doesn't want you spending any more time away. And when you come back, there might be difficulties, there might be trials, but he is going to go through them with you. He is going to heal you. He is going to bind your wounds. He's going to bring you back to himself. This is the shepherd. When he says, "I am the good shepherd," this is what it means. Would you listen to his call today? Pray. God, thank you for being our shepherd. You know all of our difficulties. You know all of our temptations, our fears. Father, thank you that you still want to shepherd us. Father, you sought us out. You saved us. You're still seeking more. In this room, I'm sure that you want to save. Father, thank you for seeking us when we wander and wander after sin. We wander after the things that seem like they're safe, seem like they're good, but take such a cost out of us. Father, thank you for seeking us and binding our wounds. Thank you that you are there to help us when we're tired and we can't keep up. You don't just barge ahead and leave us in the dust. Father, you come back. You lift us up. You lift our heads. You lift our spirits. You lift our bodies and heal. Father, thank you for that. Thank you that you want to guide us through the difficult things of this world. Father, you want to give us good as we go through a sin-cursed world and all the difficulties that come. Father, thank you for the promises to protect and comfort in these deep, dark times of our lives. Father, we go through them. There's things we can't see moments ahead, and you've made a way, and you protect us, and you walk through those times with us. Father, there's no better and greater shepherd than you. I pray that we would follow after you, trusting your protection, trusting your guidance, resting your love. Father, I pray that you would be our shepherd today. In Jesus' name, amen.